I won't talk politics.
Well, okay, that's fine.
Unless you got something you won't talk about. You got anything that's grinding your gears this
week? Hell no. You know, I watched a little politics last night.
Did you? What'd you watch?
Yeah. Well, you know, just your regular old CNN stuff, talking about Super Tuesday coming up. And
it's not. And let me just say, it's not that I'm not interested. Because I am. I mean, obviously, one needs to have at least some level of interest in the political process. And I'm actually very interested in the political process. I think it's. I think it's fraught with errors, but it's still probably one of the better ones in the world. But I just, it just makes you angry if you talk about it too much. I don't like being angry all the time. And when I talk about politics, I get angry.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the reasons why, you know, one of the things that you know, and I know, I get it. Okay, if we don't talk about it, there's not another local radio show that's going to, unless it's just, you know, massively national news, but they're certainly not going to get into the mechanisms of things and things like that. But yeah, you just, after a while, you just want to wash your ears out with something different.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I think the landscape of this Republican thing will change probably quite a bit after Super Tuesday, but maybe not, you know, it might just, you know.
Well, it's,
but, you know, obviously Gingrich has to do something besides win his own state on Super Tuesday to be a viable candidate still. So.
Well, it's interesting. I prefer audiobooks because I'm a very slow visual reader. And I'm doing the audiobook right now. It's the unabridged biography of Dick Cheney.
Oh.
And, this thing's like 11 hours long.
Goodness gracious.
And I'm 3 hours into it. Well, it's read by Edward Herman, who does a lot of the History Channel stuff, so it's very easy to listen to.
Right.
And we're at the point right now, he's talking a lot about working in the Ford White House in the transition from Nixon to Ford and working on the 76 campaign and in the Republican runoff. Then you had an upstart, not necessarily a young upstart, but an upstart on the national scene named Ronald Reagan, who was giving Gerald Ford a serious threat. And Ford came from behind to secure the nomination. Of course, he lost in the general Jimmy Carter. We know how that turned out.
Sure.
So there you are.
There you go. All right.
So let's wash our ears out with this. They had a bit of a marathon. I guess it was last weekend. Yeah, it was Sunday in Fort Worth, which is not uncommon. You know, we had our first marathon here back in December.
Yeah.
And guy that won's name was Scott Downard.
That's not a marathon-winning name.
Not really, no.
No,
He's 25 years old, won the Cowtown Marathon in Fort Worth. Problem was, he was using the bib of a friend who had signed up for the race but was unable to compete.
Uh-oh.
And because he wasn't officially registered for the race, this guy won the whole thing and then got DQ'd as soon as they found out. And I don't mean he got a blizzard.
Oh, that would have been good after a marathon.
It would be. It'd be very refreshing.
So he had failed to register himself?
Failed to register himself, was wearing the bib of a friend who didn't race, who couldn't race. And so when he crossed the finish line, the race officials confronted him with it, and he said, "Nope, I'm not registered." And they said, "Well, nope, you don't win." So,
well, which stands to reason. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're not registered,
rules is rules for a reason. But and for his part, he said that he completely understood and said he'd come back next year to compete. Maybe he'll remember to register this time around.
Yeah, but that poor guy who, you know, accepts the trophy, but he really really wasn't the fastest runner.
The guy who came in second.
I mean, you know, it's a little tarnished, you know, I guess, you know, like. Yeah, hey, I won, but I wasn't the best, but that's okay.
Hopefully he doesn't already have issues, you know.
Yeah,
cause
right.
Because that's not going to help his situation at all. No.
Yeah, that's true. Like,
so, Fred, I heard you won the marathon. Yeah. How'd that turn out for you? Shut up, man.
Here's a big asterisk.
Yeah. What happens next year? I mean, does he get to put the sash on the winner if he doesn't compete next year? You know,
Here's our winner by default.
Yeah. Same guy that won last year, and he remembered to register this year. Yeah.
what would work out if this was me? If this were me, is we'd run again next year. And the same guy that was DQ'd would finish first, and I would finish second again.
Right.
You know, and then you'd have to have it all over again, only this time it would be legit.
Well, I guess you don't get the trophy this year.
Here's a green ribbon for you.
Participant. Congratulations. You're all winners. All right, so you remember Pong from Atari?
Absolutely.
Oh, of course.
Anyone who's ever played a video game probably remembers Pong, even if you didn't play the original incarnation. are one of the original incarnations. But I mean,
which I did back in the 60s.
Well, I didn't play one of the original incarnations, but I had an Atari game console somewhere in the depths of my mom's home is an Atari 2600 console that was mine, and I remember after it had been unplugged for a while, I plugged it back in, thing fired right up, and I actually played it for a long time. You're bound to remember Pong. It was the first game developed by Atari, and now there are two paddles, one ball, one mission. Pong may be coming back.
Oh, really?
It's the digital equivalent to table tennis, became the first mainstream success in the video game space. To celebrate the game's 40th anniversary, Atari is asking independent game developers to reimagine Pong for iPads and iPhones. They're giving away a prize of $100,000 to the winner. Along with the cash prize, the winner's app will be published under the Atari name in the App Store.
That'd be about right, about 72, because I remember first playing it at a bar called the White Pig in Lubbock, Texas.
How appropriate.
Yeah, it's called the White Pig. Well, it is Pig Month.
Here, it's National Pig Month.
Yeah, right.
And Compliment Month. So you go to the White Pig, you start paying compliments, you know.
Well, I wonder if it
might improve your love life.
Probably going to be all color and everything now.
Yeah.
The one I did was just black and white screen.
Well, it looked like it was being, you know, played on a microwave screen, for crying out loud.
That's right.
But
yeah, it was fun. It's the funnest thing we had.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, it's all you had.
Yeah, so. That's right.
Speaking of video games, if you think your kid's getting some exercise by playing Wii Sports, you're wrong. Researchers tracked a bunch of overweight kids for 3 months and found those who mimicked the movements of boxing, tennis, and other sports using a Nintendo Wii were still no more active than those that just sat around and played the games. Scientists said, quote, frankly, we were shocked by the complete lack of difference. Now, once again, I question the methodology. How often did these tubby little children actually participate? How much did they actually move around? Because some of these things, you know, you don't have to move as much as the advertisements might lead you to believe.
Right.
So, and talking health stuff, how about tattoos for your health?
Four?
Tell me more.
People with severe allergies, other conditions like diabetes.
They're tat'll make me quit sneezing?
They're ditching their bracelets and going with tats instead to send a message to medical professionals.
Yeah.
One guy had no CPR inked on his wrist. He said, bracelets are nice, but something as strong as a tattoo, that's a strong statement. Okay, you're going to wear it as a statement. Yeah, good for you. We get it. You're unique because you have ink. Melissa Boyer of Nashville, Michigan, really didn't know there was one, wore bracelets for years to identify her as a diabetic, but she kept losing or breaking them. She's 31, decided months ago to get a 3.5-inch tattoo on her left forearm that includes the medical symbol and identifies her as a type 1 diabetic. It also declares her allergies to penicillin and aspirin in a 3.5-inch tattoo. I mean, and it has to be visible, though. But what does it – I mean, and I'm trying to picture this. It says it has the medical symbol, so I'm guessing that's the caduceus, the snake on the staff.
Ooh, listen to you. The caduceus,
You're welcome. Somebody's been reading Enrich Your Words. You know, build your word power in Reader's Digest.
I'm going to use that in words with friends. That's a seven-letter word. Right
there. Well, that's liable to get you some points right there.
Yeah, yes, sir.
But, I mean, I'm just trying to picture, you know, again, a 3.5-inch tattoo. That's not very big. That's a lot of information to cram into a very small space. So, but I guess if that's what you want to do, the more power to you. 648.